Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hey there, health chunkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Before we jump into today's episode, I want to give another disclaimer, just like my previous podcast, episode 146. I am using these podcasts to help you to be aware of the causes of possible symptoms that you have. However, in the case of anxiety disorders, panic attacks, PMDD, so all of these different things, these are pretty serious, right? You need a counselor, you might need psychiatric care, you need somebody on board who is trained to help you. So I'm giving suggestions in terms of supplements. I'm talking about why all these conditions happen, but I really want you to make sure that you've got someone that's got your back. I'm here to give you the information to advocate for yourself, but I don't want you to take my information instead of having somebody to help you out. I don't want you to take my information on its own and try to treat yourself. I really want you to take this information, present it to your healthcare providers, and have them help you. A team is much better than doing it solo in terms of taking care of your health. So with that being said, let's get on with the podcast. All right, so today we're talking about neurosteroids for anxiety disorders, panic attacks, and something called PMDD. PMDD stands for premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And this is something that can happen pretty commonly in ladies where, you know, PMS is kind of taken to a whole nother level. About that week before the period comes, and sometimes 2 weeks before that period comes, emotions are all over the place, anxiety is through the roof, panic attacks might be happening, and those around you are wondering what is going on. And you might even yourself be extremely frustrated with you because this isn't you. This isn't your normal jam. That's not how you roll. And so in this podcast, I'm going to talk about how you can use neurosteroids to help you with PMDD. And of course, like I mentioned previously, make sure that you've got a team on board to help you out with this because neuropsych disorders are legit. You need a team to help you. So today we're going to talk about why neurosteroids are great to calm anxiety, anger, agitation, PMDD, like I mentioned, and panic attacks, and how we become depleted in neurosteroids, because these are things that we naturally produce. You might be thinking steroids, ooh, naturopath talking about steroids, this is weird. Neurosteroids are what are naturally produced in your body, such as progesterone, and we're going to talk about progesterone in particular today. Now, I'm also going to talk about how you can regulate your stress response, because ultimately, how do we deplete neurosteroids? Too much stress and not managing stress well. Now, another thing that goes along with lack of proper stress management is buildup of histamines in the brain. And the more histamines that someone has in the brain, the more possibilities for migraines, headaches, but also for agitation, irritability, grumpiness. And oftentimes, you don't even know why you're grumpy. You're just like, I am in a grumpy, ticked off mood. And this is histamines. And we get histamines from a lot of different areas. I'm going to talk about that today as well. So let's jump in first to what are neurosteroids. Neurosteroids are naturally made in your body. And progesterone is the end point. That's your main neurosteroid. And allopregnanolone is the precursor to progesterone. And we have a lot of things that interfere with the pathway of making progesterone, stress in particular, because the body will steal the precursors to making progesterone and instead make cortisol. And if you've listened to any of my other podcasts, or if you've heard about cortisol at all, you know that cortisol naturally is there to help us wake up and go to bed. It's also there to help us to regulate stress. It's not a bad hormone by any means. We need it because it keeps us alive and out of danger. But unfortunately, with the fast-paced lifestyle that we're living, we're producing way more cortisol than we need to. And in some cases, we've lost the ability to properly produce it. And so now the body's really confused and puffing it out when it shouldn't and stealing it stealing those precursors from making progesterone, and progesterone is our calming hormone. It's our calming neurosteroid. Now, before we get too far into this, I do want to mention that, guys, you also make progesterone. It's not just a woman's thing here. And I see lots of guys who, when they become more stressed out, when they're becoming more fatigued, end up having anger and anxiety and agitation disorders. So listen up, everybody. This is appropriate for everybody out there. So neurosteroid production is occurring in the brain. And so in particular, it happens in the cortex, so the outside of your brain, but also it happens in the hippocampus and your amygdala, which are core centers of your brain. And these neurosteroids are localized in something called glutamatergic, there we go, neurons. What the heck does that mean? Really, that's a fancy $5 word for they're working on receptors that are calming. And in particular, they target GABA alpha, so GABA A receptors. And GABA is a neurotransmitter that we make within our body. Neurotransmitters are how we signal things. Histamines are actually another neurotransmitter. Histamines tell our body something's not right. GABA tells our body, chill out. In fact, you might have heard of a medication called gabapentin. It's commonly used for neurological disorders like neuropathy. Gabapentin works on GABA B receptors. So what we're doing here with neurosteroids is we're working on a different receptor than gabapentin. We're working on GABA A. And perhaps some of you out there might be familiar with the amino acid GABA, same thing, because GABA amino acid is what binds to these receptors. So what I'm saying here is if you use the amino acid GABA, it's going to work similar to a neurosteroid. However, it's not as strong. We need more things in this case to help calm the nervous system down. So that being said, if you've ever used GABA, the amino acid, before to try to help calm your nervous system, and maybe it helped temporarily, it maybe helped a little bit, but it wasn't as strong as you were hoping for, it's because it's part of the picture here, not the whole picture. So neurosteroids have a more pronounced effect because they're kicking off a cascade of neurological events to calm your nervous system down. Whereas taking an amino acid GABA, you're kind of just throwing something into the pathway and hoping that it's going to help to trigger that response to calm you down. So there you have it. Now, you need vitamin B6 to help with conversion of the GABA to create calming sensation. Now, you also need the GABA receptors to activate with vitamin B6. And so those who are deficient in vitamin B6 will often have panic attacks, anxiety disorders, things of that nature. Now, how do you become deficient in B6? Stress will deplete it. Alcohol will deplete it. Chronic use of alcohol. I'm not talking about maybe one or two drinks a month. I'm talking chronic use nightly. Multiple drinks could cause depletion. Well, it does cause depletion of your B vitamins. Now, not eating meat can cause some issues, not eating grains. And so that makes me kind of think out there, okay, we've got a lot of diets who folks are going towards vegan. We have a lot of diets out there, folks who are avoiding grains because they are hard to digest. And I wholeheartedly agree that they are hard to digest. They're hard on your gut lining. So sometimes we might have to supplement with a little bit of vitamin B6. The question is how much, because you can get too much vitamin B6 in the system and take the agitation that you already have and create more agitation. Nobody wants that. In a perfect world, I usually try to keep vitamin B6 supplementation around 50 milligrams or under. You definitely want a doc on board as a team if you're going to go over 100 milligrams of vitamin B6. That's kind of like the upper limit. So just so you know, in case if you're looking at your supplements and you're going, how much vitamin B6 do I have in this thing? If you have like 2 milligrams of it, I don't think it does much for you. I think that if you're having panic attacks and anxiety, you need a little more. So the other big thing about vitamin B6 is that if you're going to supplement it, giving the body the precursor to form its own vitamin B6 sometimes is useful. It's called P5P. That is the precursor to making vitamin B6. And somehow I've found that some folks work better with having that versus actual supplementation of straight up vitamin B6. Same rules apply in terms of supplementing P5P for vitamin B6. P5P, by the way, stands for pyridoxal 5-phosphate. And so keep that in mind. I sometimes forget that I'm using my lingo and want to make sure you know what the heck I'm talking about. So since the 70s, research has shown that allopregnanolone is the precursor to progesterone. And allopregnanolone has a sedative. It has an anxiety-inducing property. And one way we know about this is actually through the research on Prozac. Because what was found is that while Prozac is a serotonin uptake inhibitor, so it blocks serotonin uptake, so it keeps serotonin levels high, at the same time we found that brain allopregnanolone levels increased. So kind of cool that we have calming effect. And what happens when calming happens? We get an increase in allopregnanolone. So naturally, the body is trying to calm itself with allopregnanolone. That was found with that study. Now, allopregnanolone is such a strong regulator that it's actually made in the main areas of the brain, even when its signaling mechanisms are lost and its other areas of formation are gone. Now, what am I talking about? Well, we will also produce allopregnanolone in the adrenals, the ovaries, and testes. And so in this case, what's happening is if you take someone's testes out and you take out their adrenals, or say, in the case of the research, it was taking out the adrenals, but say the adrenals are not working like they should. Perhaps you've heard of the case of adrenal fatigue or adrenal insufficiency, meaning that you stress yourself to the point where your fight or flight gland doesn't know what to do. Now, the adrenal glands have other roles in terms of producing serotonin, dopamine, etc. But I find it very interesting that the brain will still produce allopregnanolone to create progesterone, even when we don't have testes, ovaries, or even adrenal glands. So it's a kind of just putting it out there that the body needs this to calm itself. And if we're depleting it because of stress, of course, messages are going to get thrown off the rails. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, if the brain produces this naturally, why do we have issues where we're not getting this? Well, multiple things. Like I mentioned before, when we're stressed out, cortisol is produced instead of allopregnanolone. And so we don't have those precursors in the brain left because we're just pumping out cortisol all the time, not allopregnanolone to create progesterone to calm ourselves. So we're in a heightened state of fight or flight. So let's talk a little bit more about why we are depleted in allopregnanolone and progesterone. So stress, like I mentioned, chronic stress, multiple traumas. And like I said before in previous podcasts, doesn't mean that you've had to have something absolutely significant, awful trauma, the worst thing you can imagine happen to you. You can have multiple things over time, multiple bad relationships, you name it, just lots of things can happen. Traumatic brain injuries, post-traumatic stress disorder, conditions that have happened because of the traumas that have happened to you. All of these things will deplete allopregnanolone, and it'll deplete the signaling to make allopregnanolone in your testes and ovaries, as well as the adrenals. Why? Because there's something called DHEA. This is your adrenal steroid that is producing anxiety. So instead of making allopregnanolone, we're pushing DHEA to produce elevated levels. And the more DHEA that you produce, the more you're going to become stressed out, panicked, frazzled, angry, agitated. And I can't tell you how many times when I've looked at someone who's extremely anxious, having panic attacks, I look at their DHEA levels and they're through the roof. And in addition to that, their progesterone is super low. Now, I can also test pregnenolone as well, but typically you're going to see endpoint of progesterone being low. If things don't seem right, like progesterone's okay, pregnenolone is going to be, there's going to be something happening between pregnenolone and progesterone. So, you know, this is when you need a doc to be on board. But nevertheless, it's typical that DHEAS in particular, you want DHEA-S tested. It's DHEA sulfate. So I'm fully supportive of folks going to my MediLab or any labs now and getting their hormones checked. And in particular, if you're having anxiety, chronic panic attacks, PMDD, and your doc won't look at these hormones, you could go get these hormones tested yourself. DHEA-S, so DHEA sulfate, get pregnenolone, get progesterone, get estradiol, get testosterone, free and total testosterone. And that's ladies and guys. And ladies, just something to think about, to get the most accurate level of progesterone, you want to test between day 19 to 26 of your cycle, so after ovulation, so if you're still having a period. If you're not having a period, it doesn't matter. If you're on birth control, it doesn't matter. You can test whenever. Now, chronic stress is going to really mess up how your body decides how much allopregnanolone is going to be produced and how much progesterone is going to be produced. This is why I highly recommend testing. And in terms of would blood look better or would saliva look better, you know what? I've found over time that blood just seems, so serum is the fancy term for it, just seems to be a little bit easier to get out of patients versus using saliva because it's, you know, goes through insurance. Or if you do my MediLab or any labs now, of course, it's going to be cash pay. It's going to be cheaper for you in some cases than going through insurance. But nevertheless, I think getting serum is just fine. No problem there. Now let's talk about this a little bit in terms of, okay, if we're anxious and we're having panic attacks and our nervous system's fried from not having enough progesterone, how the heck does this have anything to do with my nervous system? Well, at the beginning of the podcast, I was talking about GABA. GABA is an amino acid, and GABA is an amino acid that has receptors in the nervous system to help to calm us. So it's a chemical reaction that happens in terms of something's binding to a receptor, and that receptor is going to set off a chemical reaction of calming. Now, what nerve is most affected in being stressed out? The vagus nerve. Now, I always joke, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Honestly, it doesn't, because the more stressed out you get, the more your poor vagus nerve is going to be frazzled. There are so many different treatments out there to calm the vagus nerve. We have electrical impulse types of treatments these days, so PEMF. We also have meditation, relaxation, things of that nature. So you can work on your vagus nerve. The thing is that sometimes you need certain vitamins, minerals to help with it. And if things are serious enough where you're having panic attacks that are affecting your everyday life, you're having agitation, sometimes meditation doesn't cut it. And you got to do something else. And a lot of times, it's looking at your hormones and considering having a little progesterone on board. So let's jump into a couple of symptoms to know if your vagus nerve is frazzled. So I mentioned the anxiety, I mentioned the panic attacks, things of that nature, but maybe you might also have chronic nausea. You might have dizziness. You might have changes with blood pressure. You're feeling dizzy from going from laying down to standing up, or your blood pressure jumps up really high when you walk around and move, and then when you lay down, it goes pretty low. Same thing with heart rate. So heart rate variability is extremely high and low, and it takes you time to get you back to your resting heart rate. Because ultimately, we all have a resting heart rate that we live by, basically. That's like our baseline. But if it takes you forever to get back to baseline from being agitated, that means your vagus nerve is irritated. Dizziness is another common symptom of vagus nerve issues. Anxiety, panic attacks, like I mentioned, will sometimes be induced by someone feeling dizzy, having blood pressure changes. Why? Because that vagus nerve gets signals that something's wrong, something's not right. And then we have this whole takeover of the brain, if you will, that it creates a cascade of panic. Now, I am going to be interviewing Dr. Diana Driscoll here soon about something called POTS, which is a condition in which your vagus nerve is not regulated. So postural orthostat. And so what's happening is this individual is going to experience heart racing, which is very common with anxiety, panic attacks, and sometimes what induces panic attacks. I have a couple of patients in my practice right now that they're terrified to do anything in terms of supplements or interventions because they're afraid that their heart's just going to take off on them and things are going to go crazy, which makes sense. And nobody likes it when their heart's doing weird things because ultimately that panics us. And why? Because it goes back to that vagus nerve. It's feedback to the vagus nerve that something's not right. Folks who have food sensitivities, folks who have environmental sensitivities, the increased histamines that get into our system can also signal that something's not right. And it can basically overtake your vagus nerve and cause your vagus nerve to be overagitated. This is a real deal thing. And honestly, instead of the term adrenal fatigue, adrenal insufficiency, in a lot of cases, I'd like to say that the vagus nerve is out of whack. It's not necessarily your adrenals. Because ultimately, in the natural medicine world, we talk a lot about adrenal fatigue, adrenal insufficiency, and yes, I mention it. But the truth is, if your adrenals weren't working at all, you'd be dead. That's absolutely hands down. If your fight or flight response didn't work, you wouldn't be alive. Same thing with the adrenals in terms of your hormones. Same thing with the adrenals in terms of your electrolyte balance, blood sugar balance. They're in charge of all of that. And so if they weren't working, you'd be dead. But the adrenal glands have a huge impact on your vagus nerve. And your vagus nerve is your most primal nerve to shunt blood flow from your organs to your muscles. It also is in charge of digestion. It's in charge of a lot of different things. It's like your check-in nerve. It's like, hey, it's like constantly scanning your body to be like, is everything okay? And then usually what it's supposed to do when it works properly is kind of calm you down. It's a anti-inflammatory nerve. When working properly, it keeps you in check. But when it's frazzled, when you're stressed for long periods of time, when you have multiple traumas that build up on top of each other, when you're pushing yourself to the limits, your vagus nerve loses its ability to regulate, to scan what's going on in your body. And so you start having inflammatory conditions. You start to swell. You start to have joint issues, things of that nature. But you also start to have fatigue, dizziness, blood pressure changes, agitation, irritability. You just feel like crap. So that vagus nerve is probably more of an issue for most of us than our adrenal glands truly are, because the vagus nerve has to communicate with our adrenal glands. And if communication is off, we've got issues. And so ultimately, with the production of progesterone, we've got signaling issues. We need to be able to help the signals work properly again. Sometimes I joke with patients that we're going to rewire their vagus nerve. And ultimately, that's what meditation and breathing and all of those exercises do. However, if you're ever in a situation where you're having a panic attack, sometimes no amount of breathing and no amount of meditation is going to get you out of that. I've been there to the point where nothing would have helped in the moment. However, if I would have remembered about neurosteroids that I learned about at Bastyr way back in the day, I might have been able to help myself out a little bit. Full disclosure, I do take progesterone, And I'll be absolutely honest that it's helped me quite a bit to keep me calm, cool, and collected, because I had some time frames in my life where I couldn't get through a day without multiple panic attacks and feeling like the inside of my body was shaking constantly. Even though I could look at my hands in front of me, they weren't shaking, but I felt like I was shaking. I felt like the world was spinning around me. I felt like everything was closing in. If you've ever felt like that, it's possible that you're not producing enough allopregnanolone to produce progesterone. So here's a very interesting component about neurosteroids. They are able to regulate your vagus nerve, but you also need to work on your blood-brain barrier. Because, like I mentioned in episode 146, the one prior to this, if you have a leaky gut, you've got a leaky blood-brain barrier. So if you have gut issues, you have gut inflammation, agitation, you know, you, basically if you can feel your emotions through your gut, chances are your blood-brain barrier is leaky too. If you have anxiety, your gut's brain number one, your brain's number two. That sounds kind of weird, but your gut's your brain. It's mission control, even though technical details of mission control are in your brain, your gut's going to be leading the show. Let's put it that way. So Curcuma Veil by Designs for Health is one of my most favorite products for helping calm the brain, because that is turmeric. It's curcumin, and it's in sunflower oil. It helps to get across the blood-brain barrier, but also across your gut. And I love this product. It's calmed me down quite a bit. I also use it with patients quite a bit. And Boswellia Plus is another one by Ayush Herbs. So Curcuma Veil by Designs for Health and Boswellia Plus by Ayush Herbs. Great products that need to be on board when someone is taking progesterone to help with calming the nervous system, especially in cases of anxiety, agitation, irritation, chronic pain even. Because let's put it this way, when someone has chronic pain and is in chronic pain, that is a huge drain on the functionality of your vagus nerve. Your vagus nerve is going to become dysregulated over time. And anxiety is going to be the reaction every time you start to get a flare in pain. That's just the way it goes. Now, if you've had a traumatic brain injury, Cover 3 is a great product that combines antioxidants and turmeric together in a nice combo that just seems to work well. It was created by a naturopathic doctor, and cover3.com, you can check it out there. But that is if you had a traumatic brain injury. A lot of folks, I think that can be huge for taking right after you had that injury. Now, I do like Cover 3 for folks who have had multiple traumas, have PTSD. It's one of the things that I will go to chronic pain too, to calm the nervous system down. So if I'm not using Curcuma Veil by Designs for Health or Boswellia Plus by Ayush, I will go to Cover 3. Now, by the way, none of these companies are paying me a dime for talking about their products. I'm just telling you what works just to help you, save you the trouble, because there's so many dang products out there. And I've tried a lot of them, and those ones seem to do the trick. Now, I had mentioned Dr. Diana Driscoll and her interview coming up soon. Stay tuned. She has a product called Parasym Plus. She went through a huge issue with vagus nerve dysregulation, and it was set off by a virus. And Parasym Plus is the product that she created to help with reestablishing balance of her vagus nerve. Now, I ordered this product so I could try it out. I am only a few days in of taking it, and seems like I'm pretty chill. I also am still taking my progesterone. I've got a couple other patients who are trying out Parasym Plus with me, so stay tuned. Parasym Plus is made by TJ Nutrition, so you can go to tjnutrition.com and look up Parasym Plus and see what you think about it. Also, I'm not making any money from talking about this. It's just that there's some really cool stuff out there that can help you get your vagus nerve back in check. Now, there are other herbs and amino acids that can help. Passion flower is one of my other favorites for putting the vagus nerve in check and calming the nervous system down. I often use passion flower either in the form of a tincture that you can take during the day or tea. I love it at night. Drinking a little passion flower chamomile tea, nice way to slide into the evening. And if you have issues with insomnia, that's another thing you could think about is passion flower tea, chamomile, and glycine. The three of those guys are a great cocktail. If you want to like major crash yourself out, add some magnesium to that. Magnesium glycinate I prefer over magnesium citrate because magnesium citrate can cause some gastric irritation and cause you to poop. Hey, if you're constipated, Natural Calm would be a great option. It's magnesium citrate. But to recap, and this, by the way, this little formula, this doesn't come with a disclaimer. If you want to get some passion flower chamomile tea and whip it up and go to sleep before it, try it out. If you're taking multiple medications, of course, though, go on to like drugs.com and check and see if there's any interactions. But passion flower chamomile and a little glycine, about 3 grams in the tea, that's a nice cocktail. If you're really needing to get knocked out, like I said, you could add some magnesium powder to it too. And Natural Calm will help with the gut in terms of if you have constipation. But if you don't have constipation and your gut's pretty sensitive, use magnesium glycinate or buffered magnesium at like 300 milligrams. So that's to calm you down. Now, other things that I like to use for anxiety are 5-HTP, which is a serotonin booster for the brain. So if you're already taking a SSRI or an antidepressant, you do not want to be taking 5-HTP. That's double duty. You could have some side effects. But 5-HTP at around 100 milligrams can sometimes be a life changer for a lot of people. Vitamin B1 and B6, and B6, like I mentioned before, in the form of pyridoxal 5-phosphate, those can be game changers for you to feel nice and calm. So a B complex, a lot of people ask me, would that be helpful for calming you? Well, you definitely want to take it during the day, not at night. And some of these things can be agitating. So sometimes I get singular B vitamins versus a B complex. So like I said, pyridoxal 5-phosphate, the P5P, and vitamin B1. Those ones I would use singularly and see how you do. Taurine. This helps with transport into the brain in terms of all of your nutrients. And so a lot of times I'm also keeping taurine on board to help get things across the blood-brain barrier. I like to combine taurine and glycine in this case. Now, if you've got nerve pain on top of panic attacks, anxiety, acetyl-L-carnitine at 300 milligrams 3 times a day can be really useful. Also, MSM can be useful as well to calm things down. Now, if you've got some agitation, anger, insomnia, and you notice that you don't get along with certain foods, or you've got pretty significant environmental allergies, maybe you have asthma from the allergies, maybe you have chronic nasal congestion, these are signs that you have allergies. And stress is going to increase histamine also in your brain. And so you've got multiple things happening there. Maybe you've got hives and you have no idea why. Maybe you've got certain rashes that show up. In this case, you want to lower those histamines. And vitamin B5, not P5E, but vitamin B5 can help with that. So can vitamin C. There's also something called hesperidin methylchalcone. Those three can be really great for lowering histamines in the body. Also, I like DHIST, which is by Orthomolecular. This is a herbal product. It's nettles and quercetin to help remove histamines from the body. Just trying to clear stuff out, because the more histamines that are in the brain, the more irritation you've got going on in that brain. Now, glutamate is another big thing that can build up in the brain, and I talked about it in the previous podcast, episode 146. N-acetylcysteine is an amino acid that helps to clear glutamate in the brain. L-theanine can help in this case too, but if someone has sulfur allergies, you definitely don't want to be using N-acetylcysteine. And by the way, the dosage on N-acetylcysteine would be 1,200 milligrams a day. L-theanine is one of my favorite amino acids to also help regulate the fight-or-flight response and the vagus nerve. I like using up to 1,000 milligrams or so, with the high max of 1,500 milligrams a day of L-theanine. I like to dose it at about 200 milligrams every 2 to 3 hours if someone's having a rough day. It also can help with sleep. You could put 600 or so at night before bed, but keep in mind that the upper limit really is around 1,000, with 1,500 being like the max limit of L-theanine. Natural Factors has a good L-theanine, by the way. I like that brand. So just something to think about. Now, another biggie with panic attacks is lithium. low doses of lithium, not high doses. I like to use lithium orotate around 5 milligrams. Some folks use lithium carbonate. I like lithium because it's going to slow glutamate formation in the brain because glutamate irritates the brain. And it's going to help just prevent too much from being uptake and into the brain. Now, if you've got diet issues where you're eating things, for example, that have monosodium glutamate in it, you want to cut that out, especially if you have anxiety and irritability. And glutamate also can show up as monosodium glutamate. They hide it. Even natural flavors can have glutamate in it. So it goes without saying, when you're reading labels, if you can't pronounce what's on the label, or there's natural flavors or added flavors or blah, 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 something that's just looking super chemical and there's some form of the word glutamate in there, don't eat it. Stop eating that stuff. The eating closest to nature, making your own food, I'm telling you, you will save so many issues down the line if you learn how to cook, perfect that, dial in some meal prep. It can change your life. It really can. And you've got to eat anyway. It can save you from having to take a bajillion supplements. I don't know how many times I repeat that in my office over and over again. I think that I might even at some point start teaching people how to cook and do meal prep because, boy, it can save lives. Now, another thing that can really agitate your nervous system or might be a reason why you're more susceptible to anxiety, panic attacks, etc., is having a genetic mutation. So there's one that sounds like a dirty word, MTHFR, that one, COMT, MAO, SUOX. SUOX has to do with detoxing in the liver. These are all things that can have issues or be a precursor or perhaps be a contributing factor to why you have panic attacks, anxiety, PMDD, etc. And so this would be important in this case to consider some genetic mutation testing if you've kind of tried all the things I mentioned before and you're just not getting to the bottom of it. Or if you try progesterone and you're not getting to the bottom of it, things aren't working for you. Now, the other biggie, as I mentioned in previous podcasts, is you might have some bugs growing in your gut. You might have viruses in your body that are preventing your vagus nerve from chilling out. And your body's busy, occupied, having immune system reactions to try to fix you. And it can't calm your nervous system if it's actively busy working on healing or fighting an infection. So this is a big deal. I see this a lot. So common that I pretty much am almost screening everybody for viruses and things these days because it seems that if we don't get to the bottom of things or health is hard to achieve, like optimal health has been hard to achieve for folks, usually there's some kind of bug in the way that's keeping things from being fully in check. So I've talked about progesterone as a neurosteroid. I've talked about how it gets depleted. Let's talk exactly about what happens. How do you take progesterone? So progesterone supplementation is you can get progesterone prescribed to you by a doctor. And I prefer progesterone orally versus creams in this case. However, I do think creams can work. And we do have creams such as Emerita's brand that you can get. It's a natural brand. It's still micronized progesterone. So synthetic progesterone. We're not talking about wild yam here. I don't think wild yam works very well. Might work a little bit, but not to calm the nervous system down. I have found that folks can use progesterone creams and calm themselves. Just keep in mind that you can transfer the progesterone to other folks, but if you're putting it inner thighs, upper arms, you've got areas that not too many people are touching. So just make sure you get it on your skin before intimacy, or after intimacy, excuse me. And, you know, rotating locations of the creams. Now, Emerita sells a 20 milligram progesterone cream. Some people might need a little bit more. That's where you need a doc involved here. Stay with the base dosage, see how your anxiety does, then get somebody to help you in that case. Now, progesterone pills, you want ones that have peanut oil. That's what's typically going to be at a regular pharmacy. If you have an allergy to peanut, you want to go to your compounding pharmacy and have them compound something for you. And by the way, in some states, compounding pharmacists can help you with getting some progesterone on board to help you with your anxiety, panic attack, PMDD, etc. symptoms. So keep that in mind. Compounding pharmacies are a wealth of information. The pharmacists are, and they can help you immensely. But you need an oil-based progesterone. So you need something to help you get it across into your blood-brain barrier. And taurine, like I mentioned before, is another good thing to have on board to help with transport of things into the brain, just optimizes transport. Nitric oxide is going to help optimize transport. That Berkeley Life product that I talked about in a couple podcasts ago, that also will optimize transport. So progesterone dosages vary. And the max dosage in psychosis has been researched to be around 600 milligrams. I don't recommend anyone doing that right away who's going to be working to try to calm their nervous system down. I recommend starting at 100 milligrams about 1 to 2 hours before bed. It's going to help you sleep, and you might be groggy in the morning, so you might have to play with that dosage timing. But keep in mind that you can up slowly your oral dosage of progesterone to calm your nervous system and then stay at that level for a little bit, and then you're going to back it back down. But like I said before, you want somebody on board. You want a medical professional who's done this before to help you weed through getting through how to use it and how you feel. But like I mentioned, there are products over the counter that are creams that are marketed to ladies, but guys can use them too. And 20 milligrams is the dosage in the quarter teaspoon that's applied to the skin. So you could start there. Pretty much any woman that has PMS, this is what I'm doing. I'm saying take the progesterone cream, put it on inner thighs or upper arms, rotate locations, and do this day 10 to start of the period. And if PMDD is really ridiculous, sometimes I will have people double it the week before the period. So, like I said before, get somebody on board to help you with it. But those are my tidbits in terms of how to use a neurosteroid. Whole purpose of this podcast was really to let you know that you can use hormones combined with a couple vitamins or minerals or amino acids to help get rid of your anxiety, irritation, and agitation. It is possible. And these can be used for men and women, not just ladies in this case. So there you have it on neurosteroids. I'm going to keep going along the nervous system theme for a little bit here because there's just so much to talk about in this case. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you didn't listen to my episode 146, go over and listen to that now. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with at least one of your friends that you think that can use this information. Reason being, a lot of people aren't given solutions to help with their anxiety, irritation. It's ruining their lives. PMDD is crazy. Anxiety and panic attacks are just, they alter your life. They interfere with your life. You don't want to keep living like that. So take this information, pass it on to your friends. If you have questions, if you have a topic you want me to talk about, go over to my website at drjkrausnd.com and submit your question. I love to answer questions on my podcast. I went through a lot of my suggestions really fast, so don't worry. I will have all of my notes outlined at drjkrausnd.com under podcasts in episode 147. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.